Please. Praise God. One thing I failed to do last Thursday evening, our men's ministry came down to our house, mowed the lawn, did all the weeding around all of the fences, and planted some plants for Sister Grant and in her garden, and just did a superb job. And Brother Dave Shroud cooked brats and hamburgers, and we had a great time of fellowship. Thank you, all of you. Brother Thompson, kind of court, Brother Thompson. Brother Thomas coordinated all this and got it all going, and I thank him so very much. But we're just so thankful for all of you. To our fathers, thank you so much for being in attendance. Brother Nate Thompson and his wife, Scotia, are here, and I think they're going to be ministering in song. But we'd like for him to come. Give him a warm welcome, would you? In Albert Lea, Minnesota. God bless you.
Amen. Can we just turn that back to the Lord right now in this place? Jesus, we love you, God. Lord, we worship you in this place, God. We're thankful for such a beautiful day to come into your house. Lord, to come into your presence and into your gates with thanksgiving. Lord, we worship you. We glorify you today. You are worthy to be praised, Jesus. You are worthy to be praised, Jesus. There is no one like you, Jesus. And we worship you. We praise you today. Hallelujah. 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 What an honor to be in Madison on Father's Day 2013. Time's moving, isn't it? 13 years ago, we were worrying about our computers crashing and the lights going off, and time's just flying. I turned 30 a few months ago. Why are you laughing? And as time slips by, there's one thing we know for certain, that the days are getting shorter. It's just a fact. And that's why even on a Father's Day, when I know we have ceremony and we have a time to honor the great men that are among us, there's no greater father to honor than Jesus Christ. And so can we just do that right now for another minute? Jesus, we worship you, God. You are worthy to receive glory and honor and power, and there is none like you. You are holy and mighty. Lord, you are powerful, and we worship you today, God, in spirit and in truth. We worship you today. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I want us just to take a spirit of worship if we can. We're going to sing a song, and then I want to give honor to everybody and to whom honor is due. But I'm going to have my wife just kind of testify a little bit as we get set up this morning. I'm so glad to be back in Madison. I'm so glad for your worship today. Thank you, Pastor Grant, for the invitation to fill your pulpit on such an important day. And we're gonna get to the word here in just a minute. But I'd just like to worship the Lord for another minute, if that's all right.
It's wonderful to be back here. I love each and every one of you. And you've been such an awesome integral part of who this church is, of who we have become, of who I have become. So thank you for helping my parents raise me. Thank you, Pastor Grant, for your great leadership. And I have so many people that I could thank, but we're grateful to be here today, and we love the Lord so much. God's doing awesome things, and I'm grateful to be here with my husband. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory else could help. You came and rescued me. down on my knees again, surrendering all, surrendering all. Find me here, Lord, as you draw me near, desperate for you. Desperate for you, I surrender. Drench my soul.
I want to know you.
I believe God has a divine purpose for this service this morning. And it's our job to find out what that is. And so I just want us to wait on God for just one more minute. Just one more minute. Let's open our minds and our hearts this morning in this place in Jesus' name. God, there are people here right now, Lord, God, who are broken down by the things that life has brought their way. And God, they have laid those things at your feet, God, in an altar of surrender today. And I just pray right now and I speak the word of faith that, God, you would do a healing work in their hearts right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray this in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. I believe that God has a message this morning for us, and I just would ask that you continue to stay into this state of worship that you're in this morning. I know that today is Father's Day, but I don't believe in any such thing as a throwaway service. We're not going to throw this service away to ceremony. We're not going to throw this service away. And I don't mean to be insulting. Fathers, I honor all of you. I honor all of you this morning. But I have a word today that I want to bring to men in particular, but really to everyone that's here, because it does pertain to us this morning. And so if you could stand with me and go to Proverbs chapter 29 in your Bible. I want to again give honor to the great Pastor Grant. Thank you so much for the invitation this morning. I want to give honor to my father-in-law. Happy Father's Day, Scott. Couldn't have a better set of in-laws. And give honor to my wife and her mother. Give honor to Brother Russell and my wife's grandparents and my grandparent-in-laws. Amen. Let's read out of the 18th verse in Proverbs. And men, I want you to read with me this morning. if you could. It says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Men, read that with me again one more time. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Amen. Can we put our Bibles down and one more time, can we lift our voices and our hands? Jesus, God, we re-invite you into this place one more time. God, I have come to this place today to have an encounter with you. And so, God, we push aside every Lord hindrance. We open our hearts and our minds. In the name of Jesus, we ask that your word would be deposited into fertile soil in our hearts, and that the rain and the anointing of the Holy Ghost would water that seed this morning. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray that you would break fresh bread this morning, and that your anointing would flow and would minister. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for your worship. I love to worship the Lord. I remember graduating from Bible college in 2005, and I was faced with a quandary at that point, because for the first time in my life, I didn't have what I would call solid direction. All of my buddies had received offers, and I had received offers to go places, but I had prayed, and God said no, and that's all God said. He didn't tell me where to go. He didn't tell me what to do. And for the first time in my life, I remember I went to junior high in seventh grade. And I knew when I was in sixth grade that next year I was going to go to seventh grade and I was going to switch buildings. I knew that in eighth grade I was going to go to the high school. And I knew after I graduated high school that I was going to go to college. And I put 4 years in at college. And so at the age of about 21 or 22 years old, I found myself in a position I had never been before. I had no plan. I didn't know what was next. Anybody ever been there this morning? And for a certain season of my life, I struggled with being what I would call visionless. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't really know what I was supposed to be doing. And because of that, I didn't really know who I was. And I didn't really know what was required of me, because I didn't know where I was supposed to go. And so I needed vision desperately in my life. You see, historically, vision has come from three places. Historically, vision has been bestowed into the lives of men and just people in general by a community. Historically, vision has been given to us by fathers. And then third and most important, vision is bestowed to us by God. And what I needed was vision. But you see, the problem these days is fathers seem to be absent, and there are kids even here under the sound of my voice and people here who know the sting of what it's like to wake up on Father's Day and dad not be there. You see, society is no longer a place that we can turn to for vision. Society is no longer a place that we can look to for purpose in our life. And so that leaves us with just one alternative and one ulterior, and that is the Lord God. See, I live in Albert Lea, Minnesota, and Interstate 35 comes down from the Twin Cities and intersects with Interstate 90 right at my community. And with two major interstates there, I've noticed an issue in our community. We have a problem with transients, with people who stand at the edge of the interstate and they hold signs, and generally what they just need is a ride or a little bit of money. But I've started to notice something, men. It's that all of these people in my community, and there's a lot of them, are men. And I started to think about that. Why are all these middle-aged men sitting at the bottom of a freeway ramp? Where are their families? Where are their kids? Where is their purpose? What are they running from? Why don't they know where they need to be? Why are they asking me for a ride to somewhere? Why do I keep seeing the same ones over and over and over again? And so today, fathers, I honor you, but I want to challenge us as men this morning. Without a vision, we really are out there wandering. Without a vision, we will perish. The Bible says, and I'm looking at society, and I'm seeing a society full of men who are visionless and purposeless, and they don't know who they're supposed to be. And there's a lot of confusion and tension right now in society in regards to the male gender. See, what I believe that we lack today is a transcendent cause. A cause bigger and greater than just ourselves. A cause bigger and greater than what society can hand us. We lack a bigger vision. More than any of our other senses, we know it's our vision or our sight that guides us more than anything else. It leads us and guides us. I couldn't begin to fathom what it would be like this morning to lose my sight, to not have my eyes, to try to feel around how I would get around this church and begin to bring a message without my sight. And the thing is so many of us men, and I'm seeing it in the church, I'm seeing it in my church, we're living with vision that society gives us. We're seeking our validation in the things of men with jobs and with money and with status, and we're seeking our vision and our purpose from a wrong place, when the Bible tells me that there is one place that vision comes from, and it comes from God Almighty. And so my question is, why is our gender so purposeless? Where are we going and what are we doing? Because the scripture says without vision we will perish. So if vision is so vital, the question is, well, where do we get it? Where do I get vision, preacher? When you read that scripture that we all read together, it says, where there is no vision, people perish. That word vision in Hebrew is the word chazon, and it literally means divine revelation. Let that sink in. Divine, God. Revelation, revelatory, light bulb moment. Can I tell you something? That if you're living your life and you're chasing all the rabbits and climbing all the corporate ladders that everybody else is, that's okay. But you better not be doing that aside from the vision that comes from an almighty God. Because you're going to get to the top of that ladder and there's going to be nothing there. And you're going to look back at the last 40 years of your life and you're going to wonder what I did. What did I do? What has this all been about? And so the Bible says without vision or divine revelation, people perish. And that's so sad, because I believe God has created everyone in this room under the sound of my voice for a specific purpose. You know, you were created for something and it was big. You were created for something so much bigger than an 8-to-5 job, so much bigger than just living life Monday to Friday just to get to the weekend. God has placed a divine revelation inside of your soul, in your spiritual DNA. And my question is, why haven't we woken up and tapped into God's purpose for us as men, as for human beings? What is my purpose? See, we need to be awakened to the vision, to the purpose and the dream, because if we don't, there's a warning in that scripture. We will perish. Now, I don't believe it's a physical death. We look in the garden at Adam and Eve, and God came to them and he gave them one requirement. He says, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you do, you will surely die. Now, let me ask you a question. When they bit into that fruit, did they die a physical death? No, they did not. What happened was a spiritual death. There was something that happened and a switch was flipped and their eyes were open to a whole bunch of things that God never intended for their eyes to be open to. You see, when the Bible says without vision you will perish, what it's talking about isn't a physical death. It's talking about the death of what could have been. And I don't want to live my life and hit the age of 70 and wonder why I missed out, because I never tapped into the what could have been. I never tapped into the vision that God had for my life. See, as a kid, I hated reading about Adam and Eve. I hated it. And it wasn't so much because of the fact that they failed, because I understood failure even as a young kid. We make mistakes, right? There's no place in the Bible that God asks us to be perfect, but he says he will perfect us. Different word. So it wasn't that they failed that bothered me. It was what they missed out on. It was what they missed out on. They lived in perfection, in paradise. And one choice ruined that for them. And I would think of their future, even as a little kid, and it would just be mind-boggling to me, because I was sad for them because of what they missed out on. They missed the true mission that God gave them. You see, the first thing God gave Adam was a mission. You know that. Genesis 1 and 28 says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Adam was given a commission by God to have dominion, and the good news is that that commission still stands for all of us here today. God created you, and He created you to have dominion in your lives, in your spiritual walk. He created you to have dominion over everything that moves. God has put that dominion within the grasp of humanity. And Adam lost out when he lost sight of the vision God had given him. This is what I mean. Genesis chapter 3. In the garden, the woman, the snake comes to Eve. There's a conversation that happens. She's deceived, and we know that from Scripture. And she eats of the fruit. Now listen to what the Bible says in Genesis 3 and 6. It says this, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and that the tree, it was a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband," and all the men read the next word with me, "with her." With her. And my question for Adam is this: why didn't you step in? You were there. You were there. But where were you at? See, the fact was is that Adam was MIA. Adam went dark. Adam was missing when his wife needed him the most. That commission that God had given him had been lost somewhere in the back of his brain. That commission about taking dominion over everything that moves. And so he was there. He was deceived. He wasn't deceived. She was deceived, and he did nothing. See, God had provided Adam with vision. We know that. He was to have dominion. And Adam paid a huge price for his passivity, both in physical and in the spiritual realm. See, a man that has no vision or has lost track of his God-given vision is a man without a compass. He's a man who is wandering. He is a man that can't quite find true north when he doesn't have divine revelation. And so we get in trouble when we wander outside of the parameters and the vision that God has given us as men. Where there is no vision, there is no passion. And where there is no passion, there is only passivity. And so there's a more foundational but invisible problem of being visionless that gives birth to the more evident and observable problem of passivity. Because listen to me very closely, men without a vision struggle with passivity. Men without a vision struggle to reject passivity. But I thank God that the first Adam wasn't the only example of manhood that the Bible gives us. I thank God that the Apostle Paul speaks of a second Adam. The Gospels tell us that one night in a city called Bethlehem, a baby was born to a virgin. The second Adam was born, and he came to undo and set right everything the first Adam failed to do. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to be the answer, the final answer for sin, and to become the ultimate example of true, authentic manhood. God, our Heavenly Father, wrapped Himself in flesh and came to an earth to live among men to show us what it means to be true and authentic as men. Paul writes in Philippians, the second chapter in the third verse, "Instead of being motivated by selfish ambition or vanity, each of you should, in humility, be moved to treat one another as more important than yourselves. Each of you should be concerned not only about your own interests, but about the interests of others as well. You should have the same attitude toward one another that Christ Jesus had, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a slave, by looking like other men, and by sharing in human nature, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on the cross. What the first Adam couldn't do when it came time to protect the one that he loved, Jesus Christ showed up, rejected the passivity that was set before him, left a perfect heaven and came down and lived in this earth and fought our battles. When faced with passivity, when those around him and those that he loved came to him and offered him a way out, he said, "No, no. Not my will, but your will be done." He had a vision. He had divine revelation. He had tapped into something that was bigger, something that was greater, and something that was more powerful. And so when his bride, us, the church, needed him the most, he got on his face and got on his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweat great drops of blood, the Bible says, and he took that all that sin and all of that shame and all of the stuff that we've drug into our lives, and he nailed it to a cross. See, men, let me tell you something. Without vision, you will be passive. You'll be passive in your marriage. You'll be passive as fathers. You'll be passive in the things that matter. And most of all, you'll be spiritually passive. And now, in this hour, is not a time for us to be spiritually passive. Rejecting passivity is the difference between living in freedom and bondage. It's the difference between God's favor and blessing in your family and just taking what life gives you. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 and 45, the first man, Adam, became a living person. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. It's the difference between just having life and the difference of having life everlasting. And so it boils down to divine revelation. It boils down to getting a vision that's bigger than ourselves. And so how do you do that, preacher? How do you do that? Well, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 6 that in the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he goes on to paint this beautiful picture of what it looks like to get into God's presence. And his reaction when he got into God's presence was this: "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. I'm not worthy of you, God. I'm not worthy of who you are." He got into God's presence and he was struck down literally with awe of who God was and what he was able to do. And God's response to a humble man, the Bible says in James 1 and 5 that if we lack wisdom, we can ask God. If we lack vision, we can ask God. And so Isaiah gets into God's presence. He gets into God's presence and he says, "Here I am. I'm nobody, God, but I'm in your presence." And God responds to him by wiping away his sin, by sending an angel with a hot coal that cleanses him. And God's reaction to a man like that was this: "Who can I send? I need someone to go on a mission. I need someone to do something for me." And if you're looking for divine revelation in your life, if you're sick of wandering around, if you're sick of not knowing what to do next, I'm encouraging you just to get into the presence of an almighty God, to humble yourself at the throne of God and just say, "God, here I am. I need direction in my life. I need your anointing in my life." And God's response to you will be, "Here's a mission. I'll let you in on something bigger than yourself. I'll let you in on something anointed, something with purpose and something with power." Jeremiah 29 says this: "I know the plans I've planned for you." God has plans for every one of you. "I know what they are," God says. "I have plans to prosper you and never to harm you. I have plans to give you a future filled with hope." I want those kind of plans. I want that kind of purpose for my family, for my wife, for my church, for my community. God goes on and he says, "Listen, when you call out to me and come to me in prayer, I will hear your prayers. When you seek me in prayer and in worship, you will find me available to you. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me." And here's the promises. I'll erase all that purposelessness. I'll reverse your plight and I will regather you from wandering all over wherever we've wandered. I'll regather you, the Bible says, from all the nations and the places that I have exiled you. All the places that we've been wandering purposeful or purposeless, God will gather us together and he will infuse our spirits with power. See, you get a vision bigger than yourself by being in the presence of an almighty God. Why don't you stand with me this morning? When you live in close proximity to God with open ears, eyes, and hearts, God will give you vision. He will give you purpose. Paul reminds us of the choice that we face, men, and really all of us here. 1 Corinthians 15 and 22, for just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. There's nothing like waking up in the morning and knowing that you're on a mission for the King. There's nothing like waking up in the morning and knowing that you finally have purpose in your heart because you got down on your knees one night at your bed or in your living room or at an altar at a Pentecostal church and God infused your purposeless spirit with vision and with power and anointing. And so the call this morning is this. There's all kinds of people here, not just men on Father's Day, but I'd like to do something. If you're here and you've never experienced the power and the joy of the Holy Ghost, if you want to know what divine revelation is all about, you tap into the Holy Ghost. God will fill you with His Spirit and your life will never be the same. And so, this morning, if you need that, God can do that for you today. Come on, let's build faith in this place. You believe that? You believe the Almighty God can step down and into your heart? And so if you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, we're going to have a moment here where God can do that for you. Yeah. If you need healing in your body, God can heal because the Bible says He's Jehovah Rapha. He's our healer. And we're going to invite you to come in just a moment. If you just need a need to be met, God can do that too. And listen, I'm making a plea and I'm making a call to all the men in this place, whether you're married, single, no matter who you are. Our world needs men like never before. Yes. But not just men in anatomy. We need men in spiritual senses. And can I just tell you this? When you start to reject passivity spiritually, you'll never have to worry about it in the physical realm because God will step in and set everything right. And so I'm going to make a call for all four of these groups. If you need the Holy Ghost, I'm going to have you come right down here. If you want to be filled with God's Spirit this morning, it can happen. Step right down here. If you need healing, I'm going to have you to come right over here this morning. If you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit over here, if you need a need to be met right here, but I want to invite all the men also. And let's just all come right now at once. Let's just all come together. In Jesus' name. Come on, you don't have to walk out today the same way you walked in. God can do something in your heart this morning. I'm full of faith. I want to pray over every one of the men that are here this morning. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak peace over the hearts of these men. God, men are under attack in this society. And God, I pray right now a blessing over every one of the men that are here, not just fathers, but every man. God, I pray that every man under the sound of my voice, God, would be encouraged by you this morning. God, I pray that, Lord, we would make a commitment to you, God, to build an altar in our lives every day to you. God, because we can't live life purposeless. God, we need your anointing. And so, God, I pray right now that, God, commitments would be made all over this place right now, God, to, Lord, seek you for your anointing, to seek you for divine revelation, God, because if we don't, what's going to perish is the what could have been. I don't want to live my life, God, and, Lord, look back and say, God, if I just would have given myself to you at an altar one morning, that, God, my life would have been different. But, God, I want your purpose burning in my heart like a rushing mighty wind, oh God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.